Right. What's up, NJ Campus? How you guys feeling tonight? You guys doing good? I just want to welcome my man Jahel back. Insane. We were in the kitchen and we just heard this uproar in here during worship service. We're like, that never happens. And then Rob comes in like, it's Jahel. We're like, okay, wow, that's crazy. Matt, can you actually get the clicker room? I have a slide for Jahel. No, I don't. Jahel, it's good to see you, bro. It's surprising us. You're amazing, man. Guys, again, if this is your first time, we just want to welcome you to the family. Yeah. Welcome to midweek. Tonight, we're going to have some fun. You guys want to have some fun tonight?
Yes.
We're going to go deep into the Word of God. And I just want to say it's great to be back with you guys. I know some of us were away at camp for both DTA and the Harvest Worship Retreat. And it was an amazing week. And I don't know about you, but for those of you that went to camp, I left feeling equipped, man. I was like, I was kind of a fire hose of lessons from Steve Kennard and Ed Anton and the Harvest Worship Retreat. But I got some refreshing time with God and the great outdoors. And I feel more equipped by the Holy Spirit for sure, leaving camp and being back home with you guys. And like Matt said, and Kyrie, tonight we are going to dive into the Holy Spirit together, digging into the scriptures to learn more about Him and how we can truly live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Amen? Amen. So we are going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight.
Yes.
And we're going to let the Bible speak for itself. Amen? But to be honest, guys, I'm personally very excited about tonight. I really feel like God is going to do something special tonight in our family. Amen. But before we start, I do want to pray together. And, you know, I want us to pray to the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we don't refer to Him as an it. Because if you refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, you kind of take away His personality. And that's something that we learned together at DTA. But right now, I want us to really pray to Him and ask Him to move tonight. And I want to encourage you guys to do that too on your own time, in your own time with God. You know, in the Trinity, you got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? But praying to the Father is different than praying to the Holy Spirit. So I pray to God the Father. I praise Him for, you know, how He's a creator, how He sent Jesus. He's a loving God. When I pray the Holy Spirit, I'll pray things like, Holy Spirit, please convict me during this time with You. Please guide me into truth. Please show me what You want to show me from Jesus. And so we just got to learn to remember that yes, it's a Trinity, but they're different beings. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus is really clear about that. So let's go ahead and pray together. Amen.
Come on, Mark.
Let's pray to God. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here.
Yeah.
You are so real. You are so present. And we just want to pray, Holy Spirit, that You would convict us tonight. That You would guide us into all truth. That You would comfort us. That You would be our defender tonight, God. That You would reveal things in our lives that will lead us to be more like Jesus. Father, we're so grateful for You, and we're grateful for Your Holy Spirit. And we just want to ask Him to really move in our hearts tonight, to put aside distractions. And Holy Spirit, we just ask You to change us tonight in a powerful way, not just as individuals, but as Your body,
yeah.
Father, that this will be a time where we leave change together. And just a culture shift moment as we lift up Your Spirit, God. We love You. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So as you can see on the screen, the title of our lesson tonight is Equipped by the Holy Spirit.
Nice.
And the main question that this lesson is going to aim to answer tonight is, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh?
All right.
This is the one main question we're going to let the scriptures answer. And the truth is that that's a loaded question. But what is so encouraging is that Jesus, because He's the man, is so clear about how the Holy Spirit works, who He is, and how we can walk by the Spirit practically. But what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? That's what we're going to focus on tonight. And I don't know what you think of when you hear the words Holy Spirit. You know, I'm not sure what comes to mind for you or what you picture, but my prayer is that by the end of tonight, you know him better and that you have a better biblical understanding of how you can practically walk in step with the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think when we hear Holy Spirit or we think about it, it kind of freaks us out sometimes, or it can seem abstract or intangible. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think for a lot of us, when we become Christians, that's not maybe the focus of our Bible study. And so it's always just kind of this thing in the corner. We're like, yeah, I read about that a lot, but it can feel abstract. It can feel weird. It can feel Pentecostal and just kind of out there.
Yeah.
But I want to remind us tonight, guys, that we are spiritual beings and we live in a spiritual reality, and Satan wants us to materialize everything, but our souls are not material. You can't touch love or God's love. You can't materialize it. You can't materialize joy.
Yeah.
We are spiritual beings made to be connected to a God that cannot be boxed up. And so we must not let Satan fool us that we're made, that we're made from something physical. We're actually made from the Spirit of God. And as disciples, we're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so, yes, we have physical bodies, but that's not all we are. We're not just physical bodies. We're more than flesh and bone. Amen. We are souls. We're spirit. We're made in the image of God. Spiritual beings made by him. Amen, guys. So it's not weird. We're spiritual people. And so we can't be freaked out by people talking about the Spirit or learning about it. Rather, I think we should really embrace it. Amen. Embrace how God has made us, that we are spiritual people and not robots or just flesh. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I do want to ask you this question tonight. How much do you really think about the Holy Spirit during the day? I mean, really. You know, I've been learning that this is a weakness of mine. It's something that I'll confess I really need to work on, but I want to be more attentive to the Spirit. I really do. I really want to go after it. It's been awesome just trying to do that and growing that. But I want to be more sensitive to him. I want to think about him more. And I don't want to ignore him. You know, one thing Steve Kinnard kept saying at DTA that stuck with me is think Spirit and get Spirit. If you're thinking about him, you're going to get him. You're going to understand him more. You're going to experience him. Just like if you think about a scripture all day long, that's going to change the way you live, right? Or a memory verse. So we got to think Spirit to get Spirit. And I just want to encourage us in general just to start talking about him more.
Amen.
Start giving Holy Spirit credit. Like if something happens in the day, let's just start using that language more so we can just really get that ingrained that, man, we're filled with the Spirit. That's a big deal in baptism. So let's talk about it. Amen?
Amen.
But who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 15. John 15 into 16 will be our main passage for tonight that we're going to break down and dive into. And so turn over there. So it's important to understand the context of this scripture and really the context of any scripture you read. So what's going on here in this passage? Let's talk about it. So Jesus, he's having a final conversation with his disciples before he gets arrested and taken to be crucified. So his disciples are filled with sadness because Jesus is making it clear that he's leaving them. So he's also warning them about how things are going to be after he leaves. How the world will hate them without reason. How they will face hardship, persecution, and trials. And so imagine you're walking with Jesus closely for 3 years. Seeing the miracles. Hearing his jaw-dropping sermons. Feeling more love than you've ever felt before by someone. More seen, more filled with purpose than ever, more clarity about your life than ever before.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says, I'm saying goodbye. That is not a good day. That is not a good day. I don't care who you are. This is a sad time. The scripture says that the disciples are filled with grief. But we also got to put ourselves in the shoes of Jesus here. Jesus is wanting to comfort them during this time. It's an incredibly tough goodbye. And because Jesus is so loving, he's probably wanting to make this goodbye a little easier for them, and to fill them with hope and something to look forward to as well, because he is going. So Jesus' attitude here in the scripture is just trying to encourage them during this time. You know, if you had to say goodbye to your closest friends, wouldn't you want to comfort them too?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to empathize? So how does Jesus comfort his disciples here? He tells them about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's how he comforts them. If you read here in John 15, starting in verse 26, let's read this together. He says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." And skip over to verse 7, John 16, verse 7. He says, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good or for your advantage that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." We'll stop there. So Jesus is saying that he's going to send the Advocate, that he's going to send the Holy Spirit, which is the Advocate. So this word in the Greek is the word, the Paraclete. So the Paraclete is this is the definition of the Holy Spirit. It's a comforter. It's an encourager. It's a counselor. You know, the real meaning of that word in the Greek is this phrase really meaning from close behind. Like he's right there with you 24/7. So the Holy Spirit is like this perfect voice of reason and truth, teaching you how to be more like God, helping you to make godly calls. And it's like having a really good advocate for justice at your side, sticking up for righteousness all day long. You know, in the Greek definition, it's kind of used in the umbrella of like court or legality. So it's like a legal advocate who makes the right judgment call 100% of the time. And he's living in you.
Wow.
He's the best advisor you could ask for. And so the Holy Spirit, this advocate, helps us connect with what we hear in the Word of God. And it helps get it into your heart and your mind and your life. It's like God coming off the pages into your soul, into your heart. Jesus walking with you to help you follow him. That's a pretty sweet deal. It's a pretty awesome gift. So a great way to think about the advocate of the Paraclete is like someone fighting for you. It's like you got the most epic bouncer or bodyguard that's just with you all day long. Like, "Yo, don't touch my man over here, my daughter over here." Just fighting for you all day long. Yeah, let's go, Derek. And he's guiding you to make Christ-like decisions. And so the Holy Spirit, in short, will always advocate for righteousness. All the time. The Spirit of truth. You know, that's what Jesus says here. He says the advocate dash the Spirit of truth. So unlike Satan, who can only breathe lies to you, tell lies to you, the Holy Spirit can only speak truth to you.
Wow.
And Jesus makes it clear that the Spirit is coming straight from the Father. Straight from the Father, a gift from God. But Jesus also says that when he comes, that the Spirit will testify about him, about Jesus. That he'll testify about Jesus. This word testify in the Greek is materio, which means to be a witness or to bear witness, to affirm that one has seen or heard experienced something. So the Holy Spirit will affirm to us and other people that Jesus is real. He's testifying. He's affirming, yes, Jesus is real. So the Holy Spirit's trying to affirm that. So the advocate is always going to advocate for Jesus and that he's real. And he's going to remind us of who Jesus is. You know, I wanted to look at this scripture because I think Jesus really helps us out here to understand the Holy Spirit. I think this is kind of a teaching moment for the disciples. Okay. He's trying to help them understand, yes, I'm going, but it's good because the advocate's coming. Amen? And again, the disciples are really seeing Jesus going away as bad news. But when Jesus sees himself going away as good news, which is kind of crazy. But if you look in verse 7 again of chapter 16, he says, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good." Or the ESV says, "It's to your advantage." So guys, he's saying, it's better that I'm going away.
Right.
And they're like, "Are you sure about that?" He's like, "You're kind of amazing." We'd like for you to say, he's like, "It's better. It's to your advantage that I go away." So guys, when we read this, we should say, "Wow, praise God. This is a good thing." And if Jesus is this amped about it, then we should be too. He's like, "It's going to be awesome. It's to your advantage." So he's like, in order for the Spirit of God to come, the Son of God has to go back to heaven. And that's how we got to see it. That Jesus is trying to comfort his disciples. And how does he do that? With talking about the Holy Spirit. And the encouraging part is that Jesus fulfilled every word he said here about the Holy Spirit. He died like he said he would, like he predicted. He rose on the third day, ascended to heaven, and in Acts 2, we see him send the Holy Spirit. And thousands received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said was going to happen. And the same advocate that Jesus is talking about here is living within you as disciples of Jesus Christ. Incredible. The Spirit of truth, night and day, 24/7, living within you, guiding you to make Christ-like decisions. And even just in the name there, it's a Holy Spirit, right? There's evil spirits, but he's a Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you to holiness. He's a Spirit of holiness that can only lead you to holiness if you let him. Does that make sense, guys? So guys, we have the advantage, amen? But in this passage, Jesus isn't done yet with explaining to us what his Holy Spirit will do. In chapter 16, he goes on to talk about how the Holy Spirit will convict us. He's going to convict us. So let's move on here and learn more about that, how the Holy Spirit will convict us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Taj, can you get off your phone, bro? I'm just kidding. We planned that out.
Wow.
Yo, you're like, "Did he really just do that?" Taj, did you feel convicted right there? You feel a little convicted? I just put you on blast, bro. And everyone was like, "Yo, is he serious?" Yeah.
Where were the tears, Taj?
Woo! Taj, did you feel kind of caught red-handed right there? Like, exposed. Like, yes, Mark. I'll get off my phone. He's doing good. He's paying attention. But guys, that right there, that's what the Spirit does. He's going to convict you. He's going to catch you red-handed. And he's going to say, "Hey, I see you. I see you all day long. I see you looking at that photo right now on Instagram too long. I see you thinking about this person in a lustful way." He's like, "Caught red-handed. Caught red-handed. You're exposed all day long." That's what the Holy Spirit does. And so what we're going to read about here is how the Holy Spirit, his main ministry is to convict.
Wow.
Is to convict you. Check out verse 8, John 16. "When the Holy Spirit comes, he will prove the world," or convict the world, "to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." So when we live by the Spirit, or let the Scriptures into our lives, because the Scriptures are written by the Holy Spirit, amen. But when we let him into our lives, he will expose and convict us of our sin, and he will accurately judge us. One of the main ministries is that he's going to convict us. He's a convictor. But why is this? So that you can come to repentance and experience times of refreshing. He's not the bad guy, he's the good guy. Right? If Jesus said it's to your advantage, he's the good guy, for sure.
Right.
He's like a perfect, flawless judge who sees all the time, and who will convict you of your wrongdoings and will lead you back to right choices. If you're attentive to him, and if you let him, you can ignore him. You can put out the Spirit's fire, and that will lead you to sin. And so I want to share a couple examples here, because sometimes we got to make this, okay, I get this, Mark, but what about like your life? What about us? What about situations, right? Yeah. So we met these two guys, one guy at the end of the spring, one guy this summer at MSU. They're both awesome. We just started studying the Bible with them. And both the moments where we met these guys, I didn't really know what their stories were. You never do, right, when you meet people. But today, we had a study with one of the guys and a study with one of the other guys. And we were just kind of asking them about, hey, what was going on in your life before we met, you know, before we invited you out to a Bible discussion. So the one guy, Jamie, and guys, I'm saying this because this is the Holy Spirit. So Jamie didn't know this at all, but we get together to do a Bible study. And he's like, dude, just so you know, at the beginning of 2019, I told God I'm going deeper in my faith. And I was trying to, but I just felt like I didn't know what to do, but I really wanted to. And then I met you guys. Wow. That's God. Yeah. That's the Holy Spirit. Right. He's trying to lead this dude to conviction.
Right. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is real, guys. He's moving in people's lives. He's bringing us together. And now this guy's studying the Bible, and he's like his mind is blown. He's like, that God is real. This other guy, we had our first study with him today. He comes from a really tough background, but today he goes, look, dude, and he stopped us in the study. He was like, listen, I'm telling you my story. We're like, all right. He's like, dude, the week before I met you guys, I made a growth plan for myself, like just a life growth plan in every aspect. And he's like, one of those things in that growth plan was that I'm going to get back into my faith. Wow. I'm start reading the Bible again, and I want to get back into this. In the day that I met this guy, everyone said no. And I rolled through all of, Cafe Diem at MSU from right, you know, to left, just kind of talking to people, so discouraged, so tired. And he's in the corner. And I'm like, oh. But I'm not kidding. Like, and you guys know what I'm talking about. It's that moment where the Holy Spirit is convicting you. It's like, talk to him, talk to her. Even though he looks busy doing homework. And I was like, okay, come on. Talk to this guy, and I say, hey, we're trying to get to know Jesus. Smile on his face. He lights up. He's like, dude, give me your number, bro. I'm like, are you kidding me? And this, that's crazy, right? And so I'm in these two Bible studies today, and I literally stopped the study, and I went to my notes. I'm like, I got to share about this. Like, my faith was built today. I was like, yo, the Holy Spirit is so real. Like, he is... wants to convict people. He wants to lead them to repentance. And he's using us, guys.
Yeah.
He's using us.
Yeah.
He's guiding people. He's setting the times and places. And I'm just like, God, you're amazing. And now we're going to become best friends with these guys. They're going to get to know God. And they're just going to be like, yo, God answered my prayer. The Holy Spirit is real. We've got to give all credit to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's get a little bit more practical here too. How can we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us? Let me give you guys some examples. How can you let the Holy Spirit convict? Letting a brother or sister correct you about your sin. Let the Holy Spirit work through people. If someone's got to talk to you, say, okay, the Holy Spirit's real. They're going to convict me right now. Being humble. Another way you can let the Spirit convict you is reading a lot of Scripture. Because it's written by the Spirit. And when you read a scripture that calls out your selfishness or any sin, let it convict you. Be humble to it.
Right.
Let it change your actions. Ask, and here's another way. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to truth. Like in your quiet time, say, Holy Spirit, lead me to truth today that I'm not seeing about you or who you are or that I'm not seeing about myself. Praying. And asking yourself, what is the Holy Spirit desiring in this moment? As you're walking on campus, as you're having a conversation, just ask yourself, what is the Holy Spirit desiring to do?
Wow.
Another way to ask that is, what would Jesus be doing in this moment? How would Jesus handle this? Amen? So let's keep reading here in our main passage here. Chapter 16. You guys with me? We're going to pick up here in verse 13. Okay. This is when I think it gets really good and pretty epic. And I haven't, you know, I feel like it got more epic as I was writing the sermon. But this part, I was like, this is insane. So verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. Okay, so the Holy Spirit hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Okay. This is like the most epic process. So Jesus himself is telling the Holy Spirit messages to send to you.
Wow.
So this is kind of how, from Jesus through the Holy Spirit to convict your heart. So you're getting constant prompting straight from Jesus all day long, if you're going to let him. I think that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
That Jesus is so in love with you. He's working together with the Spirit to lead you to truth. And it's this kind of this flow to you all day long. But if you're not attentive to the Spirit, Jesus could be trying to tell you something in the Bible or from a friend. But if you're not attentive to the Spirit, you might totally miss it. You might totally miss this message. And again, our main question tonight that we're trying to answer is, what does it mean and look like to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh?
Right.
You know, when Paul writes to the church in Galatia, he really helps us out. And we've all read this verse, but Galatians 5, starting in verse 16, he says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Praise God. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a better list than the one above. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So Paul keeps it simple here, and honestly, it's really encouraging. He says that if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Boom! There's your answer. You want to not gratify the desires of your flesh? Walk by the Spirit. Learn to do that. That's the answer. And he makes it clear. He says the Spirit and the fleshly desires are always at war. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
There's a party. It's like this tug of war going on in you as you're trying to please God, but you also kind of want to please your flesh.
Yeah.
It's the spiritual tug of war. But we got to feed the Holy Spirit. We got to feed him to strengthen us, meaning we got to read the Bible. We got to pray to the Spirit. We got to listen to other disciples, get discipling. Basically, guys, we got to give the Holy Spirit every opportunity to win that war in our hearts every day. You got to give him what he needs to convict you. And if you don't, your flesh is going to win. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a conversation with a brother that says, "Hey, I fell into sin." I ask him, "You have your quiet time this week?" "Nope." "So what do you think, bro?" "Jeez, you're right. I'm not giving the Holy Spirit room." It's like, no duh, you fell into sin. Your flesh is taking over you. But are you letting the Holy Spirit into your life? Because if we let him in, we won't live by our flesh. But he's real here. And so, let's reap the benefits of the Holy Spirit. That's an awesome list. Yeah. Who doesn't want joy? Who doesn't want to be self-controlled? Who doesn't want to be patient? Who doesn't want to be filled with goodness and peace? Who doesn't want those qualities And we can all agree that the ones above that, nobody wants. We don't want to be described in that way.
Yeah.
You know, I want to really lift up Daryl and Allison Jones. When I think about people being led by the Holy Spirit, I really think of the Joneses. I really do. I mean, when you talk to them, don't you just feel like, oh my gosh, like feel I'm talking to Jesus right now. Like, man, I just think they're a great illustration for us of what it means to walk by the Spirit. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Allison will come up to me after Sunday service and just encourage me about the song service. And every time, I'm like, thank you. Because I felt really insecure, you know, and I just feel encouraged. And she's letting the Holy Spirit, she's like, okay, I think I got to encourage Mark. Or Daryl's like, I think I want to encourage him or this brother or sister. I'm going to do it. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide me to that. I'm going to lift up the body. I just think we got to imitate that. Amen. But you guys inspire me. I'm just so grateful for your example. I want to do that. So I do want to ask you, though, what sin are you committing as a disciple that you're putting the Holy Spirit through? In what ways are you lying to the Spirit during the day, hurting him? You know, there's this one time when I was in high school as a teen disciple, and my purity was terrible. And I tried to hide it. Multiple D times, I wouldn't even talk about it. And this brother, awesome brother, Kosi, who was discipled Matt and I, praise God for Kosi. And one day, we're having D time, long story short, he asked me, bro, how's your purity going? I'm like, it's going good, man. I feel like I'm really growing. Lie, total lie. It's like, cool, man. Dude, and we were hanging out, we were listening to music. Dude, I want to show you this song, bro. Can I show you a song? Yeah, dude, go on my YouTube. He goes on my YouTube, sees some bad videos on my related videos. And he goes, Mark, how's your purity doing? Yo, convicted. Like, I think I was silent for maybe a minute and just said, bro, help me. And that was one of the first times where I felt like, that sucked, but I'm so grateful. And it just got better from there. But Kosi led the Holy Spirit, like, he just convicted me, man. But that, what I realized is, oh my gosh, like, but just hear me out for a second. Like, when you really believe that the Holy Spirit is living in you, when he's right there every time you dabble with sin. Every time you give in to sinning, you're also sinning against yourself because you're a temple of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So when people sin against Jesus, they really sin against him. But his Spirit is in you. So when you sin, you're putting yourself and the Spirit through torture. Imagine physically being together with Jesus, walking with him literally, and during the day you're constantly just beating him, spitting in his face, hurting him, putting him through pain. But now you are that body. You are that house of the Spirit. You are a dwelling place of God. And so now, not only you're doing it to the Spirit, you're doing it to yourself. You're hurting God, you're hurting the Spirit, and you're hurting yourself. You're putting the Spirit through torture. You are not your own anymore. The Bible's really clear about this. You were bought at a price. So if you're not your own anymore and you're a house of the Holy Spirit, then why would you want to put him through the very sin that killed him?
Wow.
Hasn't he had enough of that? Guys, it's just selfish when we just keep sinning. Jesus, he suffered enough, guys.
Wow.
Let's just not put him through that. Amen?
Amen.
Let's decide, hey, I want to please the Spirit. I want to not defile the temple that I am of God. Amen?
Amen?
Another way to think about this, and I'm trying to make it as best I can more tangible, we're coming in for a landing here.
Got it.
Is, you know, sometimes we start to rely on ourselves way too much. You ever just start relying on your own talents way too much? You're relying on yourself and your own experience or gifts rather than Jesus. You know, imagine this. Imagine if one day Jesus just shows up at your house and the whole day he's with you. So Jesus is with you all day long. You would not rely on yourself that day. You'd look stupid if you did. If you were in a Bible study and you needed help, you'd look stupid if you tried to handle it on your own if Jesus is sitting right there. And I'm like, Jesus, it's okay. Anyway, so, whoa, bro. You'd ask for help. If you were trying to fight that chronic sin during the day, wouldn't you let Jesus help you?
Yeah.
If you were trying to treat that friend better or get resolved, wouldn't you let Jesus help you? Wouldn't you rely on him? If you were trying to help save a soul, wouldn't you let Jesus in? You would. So in the same way, rely on the Holy Spirit, not on yourself. He's with you right there all day long. So rely on him. And if you're in a Bible study, you're feeling stuck, say, Holy Spirit, help me right now. Give me the words. Help me. If you're in a tough conversation with someone, you got conflicts, pray that the Holy Spirit can help you in that moment. Rely on him. Because it's like, yo, Jesus is right there with you. So in the same way, we got to let the Holy Spirit be with us. We got to walk with him all day long. Amen? You know, Matthew 18, 19 to 20 says, where two or more are gathered, there I will be with them. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is with us right now. We're always in his presence. He's not here physically, Jesus, but he is right here, right now. Like right now. You know, we're about to sing a song that we're just going to add this new verse to Holy Spirit. Worship team, you guys can come up here. And, you know, in that song, Holy Spirit, there's that line that I love. And it says, let us become more aware of your presence. Yeah. And I just want that to be what we embrace. Amen. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Amen. Yeah. And I just want to end with this final question right here. What would the New Jersey campus ministry look like if all of us decided every day to say yes to every prompting of the Holy Spirit? What would it look like? How would your life drastically change if you intentionally decided to walk by the Spirit every day? Guys, I really trust and believe that God really has so much more in store for us as a campus ministry. Do you guys believe that?
Yes.
But I do believe that if we don't let the Holy Spirit work, we're going to limit God. And we're not going to see his dream for us. So I don't know about you guys, but I want to see what the Holy Spirit can do in this ministry.
Yeah.
I want to see God unleashed. I want to show up here come September as we're going to school year. And there's more people in here that I don't know that I do know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want to see the Holy Spirit moving that way. There's no book of Acts without the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, there shouldn't be a New Jersey campus ministry unless there's a Holy Spirit. Amen? So guys, let's adore him. Let's let him into our lives. Let's be attentive to him. And remember that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? So we're going to sing this line here that says, Holy Spirit, we love your ways. You're the freedom in this place.